Now, we are on a series on why. And as we open the Bible, I mean, there are a lot of questions that we have in mind. We're looking into these series and, you know, ask these questions, why? And today we come to third why. Why God's pattern is different from ours. As we open the Bible and look it into the first account of creation, we have already seen why God created and why does God declare this beginning and creation. Now today, we come verse 5, in Genesis 1:5, and there's this phrase that we're a little uneasy, we feel uncomfortable with. This phrase, there was evening and there was morning, and then it goes first day, second day, and third day, and it's always repeated 6 times. It was evening and it was morning and it was a day. Now to you and I, we're unfamiliar. I mean, this is a little uncomfortable. Why? We mark the day with starting of the morning. I mean, when we wake up from sunshine up there and we say, this is the morning, this is the new start of the day. But in the Bible, God says, evening and morning, and there's the day. I mean, no, I don't know if you ever questioned or, you know, puzzled why this way in the Bible, but, you know, to me, this is something that we want to look into, why God did this. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth. Now, why does God start a day in the evening, and the day ends in the sunset? And, I mean, it feels counterintuitive. I mean, it feels unfamiliar and awkward, even. I mean, we're very comfortable as we see the sunset, and, oh, that's a new day. And as the sun goes down, at the day end, but God is opposite. The evening and the morning, it was a day. Now, we know the Jews have adopted this into their system, and they begin the day at sunset rather than the sunrise. So why? Why God starts a day with evening, and the day ends after the morning? Now, we're going to see that in God's economy. Light doesn't just fade into darkness. Darkness is always a precursor to a new dawn. Evening and morning is more than just a note in a calendar. It's a symbolic representation of God's will moving from chaos to order. And they are a foreshadowing of a prophetic imprint of what God is going to give by his Son, redemption through Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at these things in the very first creation. Now, as we know, the system, dawn or evening and morning, the system is carried into Jewish practice in the law. Remember the Old Testament. When in Old Testament, by the law, when someone touched an unclean thing, if you touched a dead body or dead decay or anything unclean, you are declared unclean until evening. Not next day, until evening. Why? Because evening is considered new day. You are unclean for one day, and that one day consists until evening. And when evening comes, now you are free, declared, you're okay now. You're not unclean. So in the Old Testament, this practice of evening and morning a day is consistent. And even today, the Jews will celebrate Sabbath not on Saturday, but on Friday evening, because evening starts a new day. Now, during this creation, the phrase, there was evening and there was morning, it was used 6 times. And first, we're going to look at the word study. I mean, the study of the word will give us a little more understanding. This word, Hebrew for evening, is Erev, and it means darkness, dust, evening, and sunset. But it also conveys this idea of obscurity, mixture, disorder, chaos. So when the day is approached by evening, things increasingly get obscured. When evening comes, things are hard to see, and the darkness and chaos encroaches, and there is seemingly movement toward disorder. That's the word conveyed by evening. The morning is the opposite of evening, and sunlight pierces the darkness and things becomes more visible, more discernible, and order is restored and visibility restored, and the seeming order ensues. So it's a morning. So what is this term by evening came and the morning tells us? The statement in the creation account is more than just the times of the day, and we'll see it gives a two incredible pictures how God declared his will, that he will work in us. And his will, his willful foreshadowing, prophetic foreshadowing of redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at these two things. Number one, why God declared evening and morning. Number one, God moves from chaos to order. Though Genesis is a literal account of creation, there's another layer beneath there. On day one, God took the creation and brought order to chaos. Day two, he made more order and brought more order. And third day, fourth day, and sixth day, all these days, God brought order to chaos. So God was completing the chaos into order. Chaos, void, darkness was brought into order and light, illustrating the work of God. Now, next week, we're going to look at this. God made this creation during the days of six-day account. Why God, who is sovereign, who is omnipotent, who can do it everything, why not instantly, but in 6 days of creation? We'll look at that next week. But here, it is where the symbolism, the imagery is here. When you think about night, darkness, what comes to your mind? From a human perspective, whenever we think about dark and nighttime, it represents rest. I mean, evening approaches and, you know, our bodies get tired. I mean, we feel the day has come to an end, and we need that rest of night. Evening is time of rest. During the day, we work. During the day, we study. We do all our things and become a time of rest for humans at night. Day is a time to diligently press forward, and night is a time to rest. And that's God's order. That's God's creation order. Now, of course, there are some people who do the reverse. Some people stay all wake up all night, and they sleep at night, in the morning. But, you know, years ago, I came to know this nurse who was on the night shift. She would go work at night, all night, and come back home early in the morning. I mean, that's a job that most people avoid. They avoid. And she did it for many years because the pay was better. She got better pay because this diligent and this challenging shift. And she worked all night, came home in the morning so tired. And she would go to bed and sleep. And later afternoon, she woke up and be prepared and do some chores. And then she was ready to go back to work at night. And she did it this for many years. And every time I met her, I mean, I can see her that she was tired. Even after she had some sleep, she was, you know, awake, and she would meet, and she would do some business, and she would do some chores. But every time I met her, I can sense that she was tired and fatigued, exhausted. I cannot deny that she looked and she felt dizzy and groggy. This weariness, fatigue persisted whenever I met her. No matter how much you would go home and just turn off the lights and close the curtains behind and made so environment that she can sleep, so, you know, silent, dark, and try to sleep, she would always have that, you know, tiredness because of this reversal of what God had made us to. This is what medical and psychological studies show. Long-term night shift significantly disrupts the body system and rhythms, increasing risks of chronic issues like cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, certain cancers, gastrointestinal problems like ulcers, mental health disorders like depression, anxiety, and cognitive decline alongside potential accelerated brain aging due to sleep deprivation, hormonal imbalance, life cycle factors. So night shift lifestyles leads to physical, mental, social, and physical and spiritual disruptions. I mean, God's created order for you and I is naturally we are to work during the days and we are to sleep over at the night. Humans are to work during the day, rest at night, period. That's it. That's how God created us. If we try to reverse God's natural order, we will suffer. There's going to be consequences. No matter how hard we work or study during the day, the night forces us to rest and sleep. We are designed for a rhythm of day work and night sleep. But here, God's timetable seems to be opposite. God's work schedule and his timeline seems to be different than ours. God did create us to work during the day, but God, he works at night. So here, number one, God works while we rest. While God created us to work during the day, the Bible reveals that the evening, the nighttime, is where God works. Now, what does that imply? What does that mean to know that God works at nighttime? It means that when you and your day draws to close and you reach your limit, that's precisely when God intercedes and God begins to work in our evenings. When our efforts, our will, our determination have done, it is God who intercedes to our evenings, and he's the one who completes. When we can no longer do our efforts, when we become passive in sleep, that's when we have exhausted everything that we can do in our own will, God steps in and God actively works in our life, in our evenings. And that's where God wanted to let us know the principle. All right, I have created you. You work your works all you can, but allow me to complete it for you. That's evening and morning cycle. Why does God work in the evening? To remind us that the completion belongs to God. We would try all our efforts. We need to work at it, and we need to do all our efforts. But who completes? In our evenings, when we have to rest, when we have to sleep, we have to let go. That's when God says, all right, this is where I come in. This is where I complete your incompleteness. This is where I change the chaos in our life to an order of God. Evening and morning is a divine declaration that we are mere creatures, but God is sovereign creator who perfects where we cannot. You cannot do everything of your own. Allow me to work in your life and complete it for you when you have to sleep, when you have to rest, when you cannot do of your own things of your way. Remind you, I am the one who completes. And here, secondly, God showed us the principle of the divine growth. Now, Jesus illustrated this beautifully from his teachings in Mark chapter 4. Here's a parable that Jesus taught, that the seed grows on its own. This is what Mark chapter 4, 26, 27. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what Jesus is saying. A man scatters seed on the ground. night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Think about this farmer. A farmer will go out and sow the seed to the field, but he goes out and he sleeps. He waters them, but he sleeps, and he eats, he rests. He does not have the power of the cellular miracle happening underneath the soil. He does not work that seed to grow. He does not know how that seed grows and bears fruit. While the farmer is passive in sleep and rest and eat, God actively works in the dirt to make it grow, to bear fruit. God over time ensures that the land bears fruit and produces fruit. And what does that mean? God is declaring to us that an everlasting truth. This is an eternal truth that we must remember always in our life. For our personal life, in your family, in this church ministry, that we often think with more effort, okay, you have to work more, you have to be diligent, you have to more. Well, that is the only way to see fruit in our life. No, 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 God says, your all, your toil, your attempts, all your work, you do what the best you can do. But the rest of completion belongs to me. I work when you rest. I work when you have to sleep. Leave it to me. Leave it to me. This is repeated again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, church in Corinth, where Paul passionately he went and preached and he discipled and he witnessed, evangelized, and he built the church of Corinth. And this is where Paul says, hey, I did all my best. I was diligent. I was, very, very humble, committed to bring this church about. I tried the best I can. But he knew the secret, how the bearing of fruit can come. This is what he says. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Hey, I tried my best. I did. I was diligent. I tried to be, committed. I've done all my work. But I'm nothing. Because God is the one who bears, who makes it grow and bear the fruit. How do we bear fruit in our life? How do we bear fruit of this ministry at the church? The truth and principle that God produces fruit. And Paul understood that. No matter how he would do it, it is God and his grace, God's grace, who leads to bear fruit. God is the one who completes. And that's where this eternal principle is embedded right here. From the very opening of the Genesis chapter 1, only a few verses, he say, hey, evening and morning comes, and that's when you would have to rest. That's where you have to sleep and let me work to bring the completion. As an eternal principle, God is declaring that to us. Repeat it, not only one time, day one, day two, three, four, five, six. He is repeating that. Hey, it is evening, and it will be morning. You'll allow me to work in your life to bring it to completion, changing chaos to order. And that's why Proverbs 16:3, this is what it says. Commit to the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. You and I, we can do all our best, our efforts, everything that we want to do, we like to do, and we wish to do, but we need to commit our ways to the Lord because he's the one who completes, establish our plans. Because God is God who completes everything in our lives, we can surrender and entrust God to come in and do that. We would try all our best. We would do all our wits, our ability, capacity. But after that, we need to let God to bring that change and complete. If we surrender our nights and evenings to God, relying on God to bring that change and completeness, God will complete in His time and His ways. And that's where this evening comes and morning comes, is teaching us to remember to let God be your completion. Now, there's one more thing here in this phrase, the thread of redemption. This is one thing that we need to remember through this morning. Evening comes and morning comes. There was evening and there was morning, all to seen as an opening, a symbolic pattern that God is going to do for the rest of the Bible. What is the symbolic pattern? It is the redemption through Christ Jesus. We see that very opening of the Genesis, that God is determined to bring this redemption through Christ Jesus. It has not said here, but that's symbolically been right there written down for us. Now, in Christian typology, the transition from evening to morning, or from darkness to light, it mirrors from the state of sin to a light and stage of grace and life. One more time. Evening and morning is symbolically similar to state of sin and life and grace. Evening represents the fall, the chaos, the spiritual blindness, while morning represents the Son of Light, Jesus Christ, to bring new life and new order. What we need to look into this phrase, evening came and there's morning, we are to see, okay, there's evening, the chaos, then where is the morning? What will be the morning? The phrase suggests that a person begins in a darkness state. You and I, we start with a sin, in a state of sin, but there is going to be a morning. The one who will make this evening changed to morning. The phrase shows the pattern of new creation, new life that is to come after evening of the state that we are. That's why the first creation, the first day of creation, which was Sunday, that was the day also that Jesus was resurrected. Remember, Jesus was resurrected on Sunday, not Saturday? The day after the Sabbath. It falls on Sunday. And Jesus' resurrection on Sunday, not Saturday. And that's why the New Testament, the new church, in the New Testament, they gathered on Sunday to worship and praise Jesus. They wanted to declare that, hey, we're no longer old, those old ways. We're new in Christ. Now we believe in Jesus who resurrected on the Sunday, and they often called it the eighth day. Sunday falls the eighth day. Saturday is seventh day. Sunday is the eighth day. They call themselves, we gather on the eighth day. And declared, hey, we want to differentiate from the old ways. We no longer meet on seventh day, but we meet on eighth day, the day that Jesus resurrected. We have new life in Christ, new hope in Christ. The new light that God has promised is through Jesus. So brothers and sisters, just as God spoke light into existence on the first morning of the world, the redemptive work of Christ speaks spiritual light, new beginning in Christ. John's gospel deliberately mirrors that in Genesis. to show that Christ's arrival is the new morning, new morning. That God said, this evening will pass, and the new morning will come, and Christ came as new morning, dawn to us, so that he would give new life to us, a new order for us to grasp Christ in our life. And in Christ, as everything is new. Everything is new. Our destiny is new. Our life is new. Our position is new. And our inheritance is new. All is new in Christ. New morning, new life, and new Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as we conclude, there's a repeated pattern in this Genesis chapter 1. There was evening and there was morning. God tells us, we may strive all our toils, all our efforts, all hardships of the day, but we need to know that it is God who is in behind. In God's time, in God's way, God will complete and God will fulfill. Trust in God's intervention, trust in God's help. Although we may come to a dead end, although unable, seemingly beyond our capacity, trust in God's promise that he will come and complete and fulfill. And that's where we need to grasp our faith. Yes, I may have no meanings, no ability to do it, but God promised that he will complete. He can do it for me. Proverbs 16:3 again. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Although we are unclean until evening, we know that Christ has ended this evening, and he has brought new morning through his death. In Christ, we have new day. The new day has started in my life. So stop living as if we are still living in night. No, in Christ, we live in new morning. The morning has broken. We are no longer children of light, night, but children of day. In Christ, we are living in the light and in the morning. So every time you will read this phrase, there was evening, there was morning. Remember, it is God who said he will come into my life and work his wonderful promises. And we are living a new morning in Christ. May this be our blessings every day that we hold on as our power, strength in our life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful phrase that you have given us. Thank you that you did not leave us in the chaos of our evenings, but you promised that you spoke into light into our darkness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that you work while we stop, we rest and sleep. You promise to complete where we can't. So Father, lead us today, live in the joy of morning, joy of new morning in Christ. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.